Let's begin. We're up to Perek Lamed Gimel. Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Yutes. Lamed Gimel Yutes. Vayehi Devar Hashem El Yirmiyahu Lemar. Hashem spoke to Yirmiyahu, Koy Amar Hashem. Im Toferu Esbrisi Hayoim V'Esbrisi Haloilo. If it will be possible to annul my bris, my covenant, Hayoim. Hayam means the covenant of day, the fact that the sun shines in the morning, the sun rises in the morning. V'yesbrisi haloila, if it would be impossible to annul the bris, that at night it gets dark, the sun sets. Ulevilti hayoyis yamam v'layla b'itam, and if it would be impossible to annul the bris, that the Yoim and Valayla will be in their proper time. In other words, we're saying over here three very, it's very strange pasuk that although there is Yom and there is Laila, there also appears to be a possibility that the Yom and the Laila would be reversed, or the Yom and the Laila would not occur on the proper time. If such a thing would happen, then pasuk Chaf Aleph Gamberi Si Tufar, it would also be possible to annul as David Avdi, the fact that David my servant, that he would have a child would no longer serve on the throne of Malchus, and it would be possible for it to be that the Levim, the Kohanim, who are the Levim, the Levim that come from a Shevet the Kohanim that come from Sheva Levi, Mishar Soi, it would be possible for them to be replaced by... Okay, so maybe we should turn this off, because the microphone is broken. Is it better now? No, make it lower. Now is it better?
Yeah.
Okay, but can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Find out.
All right, so...
No, we don't hear it.
Okay.
All right, let's see. The microphone is broken. There's a microphone here. Both microphones are not functioning. So... if it's not going to work, just turn it off. Alright. So...
not going
to
help.
Okay, so we'll just do without it. Okay, so again, the Pesukim over here, read that Kadosh Baruch Hu was over here, and these three Pesukim, Kadosh Baruch Hu is making the following statement. Hashem says that when I have created the world, this last week's Parashas Noach, when Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he made a covenant with the Teva, with nature, that the sun would rise in the east, set in the west, and this would last for 12 hours. The evening would be, the night would be, and afterwards would be dark. There's a yoim, there's a laila, and the zmanim, the etam, the ace, the time when it is day, when it is night, will not be changed, will be perfect. Just like that covenant cannot be broken, likewise, it will not be broken, the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has established with two different individuals, David and Aaron. David will always have a descendant that will lead Klal Yisrael, the Malchus and the Kohuna. There will always be a descendant of Aaron HaKohen that will serve as the Kohen Gadol, and his descendants will serve as the Kohanim that serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Klal Yisrael, there are two parts to leadership. There is the Malchus and the Kohuna. The Malchus is in charge of material affairs, the physical well-being of the Jewish people, and the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, he is in charge of the spiritual well-being of Klal Yisrael. These are the two leaders, and here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying these two roles of leadership are given specifically to two different the individuals and to their descendants, and it is impossible for these groups, these descendants from these individuals, for them to be replaced, interchanged any way whatsoever. Okay, the fact that here it says in the beginning of the pasuk that there's day, there's night, and there's not going to be an exchange, teaches us that when it comes to David and to Aaron, maybe what the pasuk here means to say is maybe it's indeed true that Kadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed that David would serve in a leadership role and Aaron's descendants would serve in leadership roles, but maybe their roles, and that will not be replaced, that cannot be annulled, that has to exist until the end of days, but maybe there is a possibility that their roles will be reversed. And if the roles will be reversed, then Enochinami, there is no violation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covenant. And indeed, this is exactly what happened in the time of the Bayis Sheni. The Chashmonoim, who were Kohanim, they took on the role of leadership of Malchus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says three things are not going to happen. Number one, a descendant of David will not be replaced by someone else. A descendant of Aaron will not be replaced. And don't make a mistake and think we're not going to replace them. We'll just shift them around. We'll shuffle them. They'll exchange roles. There will be a tekufa when Aaron will serve as a Kohen, and there'll be a tekufa when David will serve, when as Aaron will serve as a Melech, the time of the Chashmonoim, and there'll be a tekufa when David will serve as a Kohen bringing Korbanos. To that Hashem says, no, there are three things. There's day, there's night, and day and night each have their set time. They cannot be reversed. It's not going to be night when it's supposed to be day, and it's not going to be day when it's supposed to be night. Likewise, there's David, that's day, just for argument's sake, and there's Aaron, that's night, and they're not going to be exchanged. This is the message of these three psukim. Now let's see them inside of the Mefarshim. Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk, there isn't a Pasuk Yuchaf in the Mitzudot Stavit. Im Toferu, Im Tuchlu Lehofer Esbrisi Asher Hemadati El Hayoim. If it would be possible to annul the covenant that I have established with nature, that there be something called day, Ulavilti, and if it would be possible to annul the covenant that I have established with nature that there would be night, Ulavilti, Ulavali, Yoyman, Valaila, Be'eshim, then the third part, the Mitzudos now is jumping to part three, if it would be possible to annul the covenant that day and night operate at a very specific time, Ulavali, Yoyman, Valaila, Be'eshim, Kavati, Lohem, Fukofal, Huinin, Bimiloy, Shinas. According to the Mitzudos, he's not telling you what I told you, he's just telling you that their pshat is there's repetition. Of course, when there's day, there's night, so there's no need to say that they're going to operate in their precise time. That's obvious. It's like the principal says to the student, I'm throwing you out of yeshiva, don't come back until you bring either your mother or your father or one of your parents. Okay, there is verbosity. What do you mean? Mother, your father, one of your parents, one of your parents is your mother or your father. So that's exactly what it says here in the Pasuk according to the Mitzudos. I'm making a covenant that it's not that there's going to be day, there's going to be night, and there's going to be day and night. What do you mean? Day and night is what you just said, day and night. So, Enechanami, the Mitzudos says, Alderch Pshat, Kofal Hadavar B'milim Shonus, it's just poetic repetition. But I told you a deeper interpretation, and that is what it means here is not to have role reversal, not to allow the sun to shine at night, and not to allow the night to operate when it's supposed to be day. And the message, now, so Pasuk is very specific, don't think maybe we're not allowed to fire David, we're not allowed to dismiss Aaron. Okay, we'll just push them around. We'll reassign them, like what happens in government, in industry. You don't want to fire someone, so you just reassign them to a different position. No, that's not going to happen. David's descendants will remain in the role of Malchus. David's descendants are not going to be transferred out to a new assignment of Kahuna. Aaron's descendants are going to remain in the capacity of Kohanim. They're not going to be transferred out to a role of Malchus. There's not going to be any reversal. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Gamberisi, Oz Gamberisi, if it would be possible to annul these three covenants, then it would also be possible to annul the bris that I've established Tufar im David Lebal Yoslo ben Melech Al Kiso, the Gam Tufar HaBris im HaKohanim, B'day Levi HaMesharsim, to annul the bris that I have established with the Kohanim who are descendants of Levi, HaMesharsim Osi, Leval Yesharsu O, that they will no longer minister. Uritzon Eloimar, Kimo She'ein B'yetchim L'hofer HaBris She'im Heyoim V'Halayla, just like it's impossible for nature to change its course, Cain likewise, E'efshar She'yufar HaBris She'im David V'She'im HaKohanim, it is impossible for the covenant that I have established with David and Aaron to be annulled. Let's see. Okay, Pasuk Chav Beis. Asher Chav. That's already the next. That Chav. Okay, we didn't do that yet. Okay. Okay. Let's do Pasuk. Let's do Pasuk Chav Beis right now because that's where it goes in. Pasuk Chav Beis reads Asher Lo Yisofer. What is the promise that I have given to David and to Aaron? Asher Lo Yisofer Tzva Hashemayim. Just like it is impossible to count the stars, the hosts of heaven, v'lo yimad chol hayom, and it is impossible to count the particles of sand, Kain arbe Hashem promised this war I will increase Zera David Avdi vs Halevim Meshar Seosi. I will increase the seed of David, my servant, and the Levim that serve me. Pasach habez in the middle of David. Return the loymar. K'mashe lo yisafer kolichle Hashemayim b'lo yimdad chol hayom b'avur roiv hakamus. Kain arbe bekamus Zera David Hakainim b'bnei Levi. Likewise, I will increase in number the descendants of David and the descendants of Aaron Hakain. Okay, so beautiful bracha. Bill Brach of the Kodesh Baruch is guaranteeing, and then these two families will always have a place in the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Let's take a look at Rashi, starting with Pasuk Pasuk Chaf. Im Tafru Esprisi Hayom, Im Tuchlu Lehafer Esprisi Asher Karati El Es Hayom Vies Halayla Liyosam Beitam. If it would be possible to annul the covenant that I made with this day and night, that they should not operate in their designated time, Asher Karati Lenoyach. Now, where do we find that Kadosh Baruch Hu indeed made such a covenant? This was found in Parshas Noach. In Parshas Noach, it says, "Asher Karati Lenoyach Ubanav V'Yoyim V'Layla Lo Yishpoisu," because at the time of the Mabul, the period of Yoyim V'Layla did indeed come to cease. It did cease, and therefore it was a new covenant that was made after the Mabul, when they came out, Zera V'Chaim Kotzir. I don't remember the pasuk by heart, but there after the Mabul.
What do you mean that Yom V'Layla ceased?
There are different interpretations, different Ma'amar Chazal.
We were told that it rained for
40 days and 40 nights. So what does that mean exactly?
It means that, that could still have been in operation. But
during the first 40 days. And after 40 days, then everything, I don't know the answer. But it does, you do have indications that time operated, day and night, operated differently or did cease to exist during the Tkufa of the Mabul. That's what it says. And the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu had to go make a covenant with Noach and his children when he came out of the Teva, that there's always going to be four seasons in the year, and there's always going to be Yom V'Layla, indicates that there was a deviation, there was a break from the norm during the Tkufa of the Mabul. Now, it's interesting, there was no bris at the time when Hashem created the world. See, we are in a much better world today than Adam HaRishon was. Adam HaRishon had no guarantees. The world can come to an end on a whim. But we are living in the second edition, and there are checks and balances. There are safe marks. Safety net in place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed the world will not cease to exist the way we know it forever. That's what it says. Okay, let's now go. Who are the Pasuk of Dal? The Shtei HaMishpachos. Okay, that's already the next. That's already weiter. Let's look at the Radak. Radak Pasuk Chav Koyim HaShem Im Tofu Es Brisi Hayoyim Im Tuchlu L'Hofer Brisi Shokrati Im Noyach Ubanov. Ode, here he quotes the Pasuk. Ode, Kol Yimei Haaretz, while the earth exists, V'Yoyim V'Olai L'Lo Yishposu, day and night will not cease, K'mo She'ze Lo Yufar V'Lo Yishpos, just like nature will not cease, Kain le tufar brisi es David shekorati lo bris lios malchus kayemes. Likewise, the bris that I have made, I have established with David, that he will serve as a melech, will exist, endure forever. V'chein brisi shekorati im Aaron v'im banav be'itam al seder hatakufos the yoyim v'layla. He learns here be'itam the tkufos. Now, are we referring to day and night, or are we referring to the seasons? It's not really clear. I told you the Mitsudos just basically said it's poetic repetition. I told you a deeper idea, and here the Radak is saying Beitam. I'll say that Tkuvas. Maybe he comes to say that Yom V'Layla here really is a code word the second time for the seasons. Yom V'Layla represents the seasons of the year. They will not change from what is expected. Pasuk Habeis Asher Kamokad.
Includes both.
What?
Includes both.
Both. Okay.
Both those sides.
Pasuk Habeis. Asher, kmo ka'asher. When it says the word asher, it should be read as if there is a chav ka'asher. Chosar, it's missing the chav hadimyon. V'chein ki asher yisem es Mitzrayim hayom. It means kmo ka'asher. Just like you see the Egyptians today, you will not ever see them again. So it's just a word, it's a missing letter. Kein arbe. Ad shelo yisofer, Hashem gives a bracha that you will increase the number to the point when you will no longer be able to be counted. V'lo yimad, and you will not be able to be measured. V'lo shen yimad noifel al chol hayom, v'lo al tzva hashmaim, v'amispar noifel al zeh v'al zeh. So we have over here an interesting interesting idea from the Radak, is that we have here in the pasuk two different words. Yimad. Yimad means to measure. Measure is something term you can use in reference to sand. But the word yimad is not something you can use in reference to the stars. Because the stars, each one is unique. So the word measurement is when you have objects which are exactly the same. Then you can use the term measure, how much do you have. But a star, each star is unique. How do we know that each star is unique? Because each star gets its own name. L'chulam shemos yikra. And if you get your own name, if something gets its own name, that connotes uniqueness, individuality. Particles of sand do not each get their own name. Hashem never came along and named this particle of sand is going to be called this, and this particle of sand is going to be called that. There's absolutely no difference between one particle of sand and another particle of sand in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world. Therefore, the word counting is inappropriate, because counting connotes uniqueness, individuality. The appropriate word then for sand is to measure. But when it comes to the stars, we use the word measure. However, the Radak does seem to say you can use the word and count even in reference to sin also. That's a little bit strange, because that really is a contradiction I just told you. I don't know, but I just at least what I told you is partially accurate. The lashon yima neifel al chol hayom below al tzva shemayim the hamispar, the term of counting neifel al zeh v'al zeh. Mishar say oisi Hashem guarantees that they will continue to serve me forever. K'moy mishar sim. It's the same word, Mishar Sei, is the same word as Mishar Sim. Ki pa'am yipol ha'mem ha'ribuy v'yaspik b'yud. Mishar Soi. I'm sorry, going back to Pasuk of Aleph. Mishar, well, this Pasuk of Beis. I think he's really going back to Pasuk of Aleph. Kehanim Mishar Soi. There it says Mishar, no. Here it says Mishar, Mishar Sei O.C. Okay, Mishar Sei O.C. O.C. Pasuk of Beis. K'mo Mishar Sim. It should really say Mishar Sim O.C. But ki pa'amim yipol mem haribui. Sometimes we drop the mem that comes at the end, v'yaspik biyud haribui, and it's sufficient to add a yud. K'mo nit'ei na'amonim, trees, plants. So there it's plural. Me ha'morim malachei ro'im v'hadoim. So you have me instead of mayim. We have here malachei instead of malochim. Okay, that's a grammatical yisoid. Let's now go to the next section. Next section, the popular section, famous pasuk, starting with pasuk.
There's a very well-known medrash.
Yes.
On this day
and night. No, that's next. That's coming up now. I know. Now we're going to discuss on pasuk of hey. The bris. Right, that would have come. Let's leave that for a moment. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayihi Devar Hashem El Yirmiyahu Leimar Haloi Reisi Moha Om Hazeh Dibru Leimar. I see what people are saying. Hashem's V'chol Ha'om Royim Es Hakolos. At the time of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael was zoichet to a gift of clarity that is only unique to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens, so sometimes it does say Hashem listens. Vayishma Hashem esna akosam. Hashem listens by tefillah. We find the expression of listening. But when it comes to complaint, the expression is to see the sounds. Klal Yisrael was zeichet to that. V'chol ha'om royim es ha'koilas. Here it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he hears people speaking and complaining, Hashem does not say that he hears them complaining. Hashem says he sees them. He sees them complaining. I see them speaking. I see the sound waves coming forth from their voices, which means there's a clarity. And what do they say? They say some very disturbing things. They say, Shtei ha-mishpachos asher bochar Hashem bohem, vayim osem. Hashem, these two families that Hashem has selected, Aaron and David. Aaron to serve as Kohanim. What?
Yehuda and Levi.
These two families, Shabbos Hashem bohem, vayim osem. Hashem has rejected them. V'yesami yin otsun. And Hashem, the nation as a whole, Hashem has come to hate. Niutz means also an expression of rejection. To detest, miyos od goy liftehem, that the Klal Yisrael should no longer be a nation before. People were despondent. they came to the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned the Jewish people, and they would no longer be the Am HaNivchar, and their leaders are no longer capable of guiding them. So Hashem, in response to this, says, you're making a big mistake. Before we see Hashem's response, let's first see these two psukim inside, starting with Pasuk Chav Gimel in the Mitzvot Tavid. The Pasuk, there is no Chav Gimel to Chav Dalid. Shtei HaMishpachos, Mishpachos David, Mishpachos Aaron HaAkayin. We're referring back to two families that were mentioned in the previous psukim. Vayim HaSeim. The belief in Klal Yisrael was that the Klal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has detested them. Hine, behold, Atah Mo'as Bohem. V'yes Ami Yinoatsun, the Gam Yimosun Esami, you have come to hate, to detest, to reject the Jewish people. Ritzon Olaymar, Oimrim, what do the Jewish people say? Shemo Asti Bohem Luval Heyos Od Goy Lifonai Shtei Hamishbechos Ha'ele, Ki Moas Bekulam Hashem has rejected them all. The Od Lo Yimloch Aleihem, Hashem will never rule upon them. Ki Mimishpachas David Lo. That none of their descendants will serve as a melech or as a kohen gadol. They'll not be called part of the nation because the chavila, the cord, has dissipated, has become unraveled. The cord, the chevel that keeps Klal Yisrael together, has unraveled. So Hashem says, you're making a big mistake, but let's first see what it says in Rashi. There is none. In the Radak, Pasuk of Dalid, Radak says, Haloi re'isi shtei mishpachos, mishpachos David, mishpachos Aaron, asher bocham boha Hashem bohem, lios manhige ha'am. Next words in the Radak, v'yesami yinoatsun, k'dekevon shirosh ha'elokim ma'asam, yinoatsu b'neihem es Yisrael. Once we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected our leaders, Hashem has also rejected the children, Klal Yisrael, Miyos Od Goy Lifnehem. V'lo Yochichum, V'lo Yenahigum B'derech Yishara. Hashem will no longer rebuke the Jewish people, will no longer guide them. Ki Chashu Ki Poska HaMalchus V'Kahuna. Because the belief was that Malchus and Kuhn has come to an end. Ki Rav Yisrael Golu V'Hanesharim Nesun B'Yad Goy Ha'aretzos. Everyone went into exile. The survivors were under the authority of a foreign nation. Period. That is the simple interpretation of the Pasuk Lefi the Meradak. Kamat, the same thing that Rash the Mitzudah said. Now he quotes his father. V'Adoni Avi Zichroinu L'Vracha Perish HaSviyasa Ami Kamo V'Ami. Kolaymar V'Kevon Shiro Ami Ki Elokim Mo'asam. Gam Heim Yinoatsu Osam. The Jewish people will now come to detest the Kohanim and the Kuhuna. To be a nation, lifnehem, v'lasos mitzvosam, v'l'perusho yiyye zeh ezeh neufel ala poel, k'mo v'yes melochenu sorenu v'yes habarzle v'chol ala moim, u'kvar pirashno osam ala poel, ala poel, k'chol es Shenoifel Alapol. Okay, I don't know the exact translation, but what he means is as follows. If you go back to the Pasuk, he has a novel interpretation. First it says that Haloi Re'isa, Hashem says, I see. Moho'om Haloi Re'isa, do you not see? Moho'om Azeh Dibu Leymar, Shtei HaMishpachos Hashem Bochar Hashem Bohem Vayim Oseim. Hashem, the people say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected the families of David and Aaron. Now, the Esami, therefore, in response, because the people see that they have been rejected, the people now will also reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Esami Yinoatsun. My people will now reject them. Now, I think it means will reject themselves. The Esami. No, the first interpretation is all a continuous statement. Let's go slow. According to the first interpretation, when it says V'es Ami, is a continuation of Dibru Lamar. Yirmiyah, do you see what people are saying? Go out into the street. Look what they're saying. They are saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected, number one, the Kohanim and the Malchus, David and Aaron. Number two, people are saying, repeat that expression, people are saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected Klal Yisrael. The Es Ami Yino Atsun goes back on Dibru Lamar. people are saying that Hashem has rejected his nation, Miyos Od Goy Lifneihem. But according to the Radak, it's not what people are saying. It's a reaction. When people see and people say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected David and Aaron, they react by saying, you know what? If you reject them, so we'll also reject them. And by rejecting them, really, in turn, we are going to reject you. We don't want to have any part of coming close to you anymore whatsoever. It creates a chain reaction. When you crush a person to such a degree, to a harsh degree, the person does not act. The person further rejects coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's always a danger when you give a person punishment. If you give a person too much punishment, you can destroy him. If you give a person just the right punishment, that encourages him to improve his ways and to do tshuva. But when there's too much punishment, the person can be crushed, and he will come to go further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that appears to be the nafkamina between the two interpretations of that the Radak presents, one from his own and one from his father. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're making a big mistake. What's your big mistake? Koi Amar Hashem. It's incorrect. I'm not going to reject them. I'm not going to reject you. Similarly here, I don't know why, but there is repetition. The same thing that we just said back in Pasuk Yutes until Pasuk Chaf Dalet. I do not know why, but it appears here there's some repetition. He's saying the same exact thing. Vayehi Koi Amar Hashem Im Lo Yivrisa Yom Avalayla. If not for the fact that I made a bris Yom Avalayla, Chukosh Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Yisamti. Now we have to translate this a little bit creatively. Gam zera Yaakov v'David avdi emas mikachas mizaroy mishlim al zera Avraham yischok v'Yaakov. There's no mistake there; it's a sin. Ki ashiv eshevusam v'richamtim. I will return their captivity and have rachmanis upon them. Now let's go slow and read the mitzudos because it's very hard to translate these two psukim. You have to read the words out of order. So let's go back to Pasuk Chaf Hei in the Mitzudos David. Im lo yibrisi. So here it goes. Im lo yiskayim habris. She'im hayom v'halayla. Im yiyu chukos v'hanhogos shamayim v'aretz. If it will be the laws of nature. Ki ilu lo yisamti liyois. As if I did not establish them. Lihiyois. So that they can be betelim ichayk hanhogosam. If there would be such a thing, that there would be no such order of Yom Valayla. Now you have to repeat. Im loy berisi chuko shamayim va'aretz. If there would be no bris with the laws of shamayim va'aretz, as if loy samti, if there would be such a thing, then, if that would be possible, then it would also be impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reject David as ruling over the nation of Klal Yisrael. Now, what happened here to Aaron? That's not mentioned. Well, let's see. So, let's see. Pasuk Chavav in the Mitzudos David. Gam Zera Yaakov. Oz then, Emas Gam Zera Yaakov. V'David Avdi. Levilti Kachas Mizari Moshlim Al Zera Aram. Ritzon Olayma. This means to say, Kamosh Shelo Yivatel. It is impossible to annul, to cancel. Zman Hayom V'Halayla. V'Chukos HaShamayim V'Aretz. Cain, likewise, loy emas, I will not reject, zera Yaakov v'David. Now, the Radak, the Mitzudos, asked the obvious question, what happened to Aaron? Back in the previous series of psukim, which were kamat, identical, which said, taught us exactly the same theme, there, we continuously expressed Aaron, for who hadin l'zera Aaron? Why was it not mentioned? Ulekatzer loy zochroy, we did not want to, in order to save time, save space, we did not mention him. We may elav yuvon, it's self-understood. What is it self-understood? Ki oshiv return to loymar, zeh yir kasher oshiv liyartzam. All of this will take place when they will return to the land, es b'nei hashevi, when I will return to the land, the captivity, v'arachim aleihem, oz toshuv ha-malucho l'zer David, that's when the Malchus will return to David HaMelech. So let's go back now and just quickly review the two psukim and translate them once again. The Pasuk Chaf Hei reads, Koi Omar Hashem, Im Lo Brisi. If it would be that there would be no such thing as a covenant with Yoimam Valayla, with day and night, meaning if there's no covenant, it could be that day will come to an end. It will happen, the day will come, or the time will come, when the sun will not rise in the east. Or it could happen that the sun will not set. If I did, if such a thing could happen, because I'm, if such a thing could happen because there is no bris of yom v'layla, and furthermore, now we repeat the words, im loy brisi chukos shamayim v'aretz. If there would be such a thing where the rules of heaven and earth are out of order or are not functional, the earth doesn't produce food, the heavens do not produce rain. If such a thing would be, as if lois samti, I never established a set order, then, you know something? It could also indeed happen, gam zer Yaakov, David Avdi, the seed of Yaakov, and David Avdi, they also will be rejected, emas, mikachas, miza, will be rejected from me, taking from their descendants children that will serve as rulers, al zera, Avraham, Yitzchok, v'Yaakov. But it's impossible, because we do know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made a covenant with the Shemayim and the Aretz and the seeds that they will exist forever. Therefore, it's also impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reject Zera Yaakov. It's impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reject David. And when will HaKadosh Baruch Hu show that it is impossible? This will take place, Ki Oshiv Eshevu Sam V'Richamtim, when I will return their captivity in times of Mashiach and show them mercy. Okay, let's take a look over here at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Chaf Hei. Rashi pasuk chafei imloy brisi e efshar shelo yiskayim habris. It is impossible for the treaty shakarati liyam alayla liyos beitam the efshar. It's impossible lechukois shamayim vaaretz libatel for them to become annulled ki ilu loy samtim gam zer Yaakov v'rabasins darshu linyan bris hatar. Now Rashi now cites a famous medrash, and what's the famous medrash? We're going now off to pshuta shel mikra, and what is the bris? Le'inyin bris ha-Torah, that if not for the bris of the Torah, lilmoid, to learn, Hashem made a bris, the bris ha-Torah, v'higisa bo-yom v'layla, lilmoid, mikan shebishvil ha-Torah nivru shamayim v'aretz. Ach ein hamedish meyushav al seder hamikros. Now, if you're going to read this in the pasuk, the words don't fit well into the pasuk, because how does this pasuk then fit into pasuk Chavav? We can take pasuk Chafei and it can make sense. How does it make sense? The Rashi is just being very mekatzer. Gezuntayt im loy koyamar Hashem im loy v'risi yoimam v'loyla kama. It's very important where you put the kama. If not for the bris of Torah. And Torah here is being expressed with two words. The two words are Yoimam Valayla. They are a code for Torah, because the pasuk says V'higisa bo Yoimam Valayla. So if not for the bris of Torah, Chuko Shamayim V'aretz Lo Samti, I would never have created the world. The only reason why Hashem created the world was so that we have an opportunity, the ability to be Mekayim, to learn and be Mekayim the words of Torah. This is captured in the first word of the Torah, the first pasuk, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim V'es Aretz. Bereishis Bishvil Torah Shenikres Reishis. The first Rashi in the Torah, Bishvil, for the sake of Torah. That's called Reishis. Reishis Dark. Rashi quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Hashem Konani Reishis Darkoi. Hashem has acquired me as the beginning of His way. Bishvil Reishis Bor Elokim Es Hashamayim V'Haaretz. It's exactly over here what it's over here in this pasuk. But over here in this pasuk it says that Imloy Berisi Yom V'Layla Chuka Shamayim V'Haaretz Lo Yisam. If not for the bris of Torah, which is called the Gisla Yom V'Layla, I would have not created the Shamayim V'Haaretz. The problem with this interpretation is that this does not flow well into the next pasuk. What does pasuk Chavav mean? Chavav doesn't make any sense. But this is at least what Rashi says. Now, along these lines, there's another very famous Chazal, which requires further more Be'er, but the Medrash says the same thing, that the bris here refers to bris mila. Imloy brisi, if not for the fact that I made the bris mila, then I would not have made the Shamayim Laretz. Now the problem is, what then does Yoim V'Layla do? Now according to this interpretation, we have to put a comma before the word Yoimam V'Layla, Imloy Brisi, comma. If not for bris mila, then Yoimam V'Layla, Chuko Shamayim V'Aretz, Loi Samti. There's a difference. The two Midrashim are almost identical. One applies it to Torah, one applies it to bris mila. But there's a fundamental difference, and that is where you put the comma. When we apply it to Torah, we put the comma after the word Loila, because Yoimam V'Layla is part of the meaning of bris. The bris is Torah, which is defined with the words V'Gitzva Yom V'Layla. But according to the interpretation that refers to bris mila has nothing to do with Laila.
Well, not necessarily, because we're told that It's a constant.
So you want to say, okay, the only mitzvah, David HaMelech, when he went to the Beis HaMelech, and great simcha that he had with him the Beis HaMelech at all times. That's an idea. It's true. I just saw that in this sefer, the HaTorah HaTzim by Rabbi Chimichel Stern, that's how he explains this. He says that you have to say that in that medrash, you put the comma after the word Imlay Brisi, comma, Yoimam V'layla, Chuko Shamayim V'aretz Lo Samti. It's only in the Zchus of Bris Milah. And that is a very powerful statement, that Bris Milah, why should Bris Milah be so special? So it's not the only place we find Bris Milah being so special. We find that Chazal said that Hashem has established Yud Gimel Brisos. 13 covenants were established for Bris Milah. We don't find any other mitzvah that comes anywhere near such a chiba, such an emphasis. And that has many unique applications in halacha, when even though there are certain things that we don't do, the Bris Milah is an exception to itself. I'll give you one example of doing a Bris Milah on Shabbos. We have a minog that we do not take the lulav and esrog, we do not blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah or Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. Shema Yavirena Dalet Amos Bereshus Sarabim. Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos there is the question, so why then do we do Bris Milah on Shabbos? Why are we not concerned? You may come to carry the child to the moel. Shema Yavirena Tosfos the Kasha. So there are many answers. But I think Tosfos' first answer is, Bris Milah is unique. Shekoras Aleha Yud Gimel Brisos. 13 covenants. It's something very special. And that's exactly what the Medrash here is reading into this pasuk. What is the Koyach of Bris Milah? So what's the Musar? Bris Milah represents discipline. It represents the Koyach of overcoming your Yetzirah. The Rambam says the purpose of Bris Milah is to weaken the Taiva for Nashim. The taiva for nashim, this is what it says in the Rambam, a person that has a foreskin has a greater yetzahara for arayos than a person that's lacking. Somehow, I guess the nerves that are in the foreskin somehow enhance, add to the desire to engage in this activity. By performing a bris milah, you are being memayet that taiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once a person is sitting, it's pretty strong afterwards also. Let's not make any mistake. Look what goes on in the world. The yetzahara doesn't go anywhere, even with the bris milah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by requiring us to do a bris milah on the eighth day, the first statement HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching mankind is control yourself. You're not here in this world to be a Baal Taiva. You're here in this world to overcome the Yetzirah. That is the purpose of creation, and that has applications in every dimension of our lives. Let's now take a look at the Radak. Radak starting with Pasuk Chaf Hey. The Radak says, Koyama Hashem im lo brisi klemar im lo yeh bris yoyim v'layla. If it would be that day and night would not operate, v'lo samti chukos shamayim v'aretz, and the laws of heaven and earth would not operate, lios chok olam, to be a permanent fixture in nature, im lo yezeh, lo yezeh, lo, if that would be possible, then indeed it would be possible for Klal Yisrael to be rejected. Lo yezera Yaakov v'David, they would not be zer David Yaakov. Why? She'em osein, because indeed I would reject them. Aval, but being that we know that it's impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reject nature, Aval kol zman she'atiyeh kayemes brisi im shamayim v'aretz v'im yom v'layla, tiyeh brisi gam zer Yaakov v'David, therefore it's also possible, therefore it will always be a special love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, im zer Yaakov lios goy v'im zer David lios moishel. Now he asked the same question that was asked by the Mitsudos, what happened to the kuhuna? V'lo hutzrach lahoshev mishpachas hakuhuna. Why? Ki kvar zochro lamala. I've already mentioned lamala. V'yes halavim mishar seh. I see the levim that serve me. It already was mentioned. So therefore, since over here this is nothing more than repetition, so therefore we can be mekatzer and cut out part of the conversation. Aval shana bedavra malchus ki hu ikar hanhogas yisrael miiras hamalchus. But we did not leave out malchus, because malchus over here is something which still must be mentioned. Now, if we want to say a little drush, we can say that the reason why they're here is repetition. And the first time we mentioned the bris of Yom V'Layla, and the first time we mentioned Malchus, Kuhuna, and the second time we did not mention Kuhuna, it can be very similar. It refers to different kufais of Galus. During over here, Yirmiyah is speaking to Klal Yisrael at the time of the Bayis Rishon. And there are two major kufais coming along. There's going to be the Geula. The Geula is going 70 years when there's going to be the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Malchus will once again go back to David. David, who is the Melech? Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, I forgot the names, the new Melech is a descendant of David HaMelech. And the Kohuna also going back to Ara. But then, after the Churban of the Bayis Sheni, there was no longer Kohuna, but there was still Nesim. There was still Nesim, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't Malchus, the full potency of Malchus, but the Malchus of Klal Yisrael existed for hundreds of years in Bavel until it dissipated, but it did exist. So that's possibly a drush and why we have Kemat, the same thing being repeated twice. We first, the Psukim from Yutes until Pasuk Chav Gimel, discuss the Tkufa of the Bayis Sheni. Hashem says, do not despair. Just because you're going into Golus for 70 years, good days are yet to come. You will be restored to your land for another 420 years. And during those years, Ruba Deruba, once again, there will be the Malchus of David, and there will be the Kohuna, the descendants of Aaron. Period. But then there's going to be a second Churban, and there's going to be a very long Golus. And that long Golus, you're not going to have Kohuna. The Kohuna is going to come to an end. There are no Korbanos Bizman Hazeh. But there always will be Jewish leadership. And the Jewish leadership, at least in the beginning, were always from descendants of David. And who knows, maybe today people that are influential, Hasiyata Dishmaya, people there today that are very influential in leading Klal Yisrael, who are we to say that they're not from descendants of David HaMelech? There's been what's been said about that. People have been spoke about that. So therefore, perhaps this is a little drush of why we have over here these two themes being repeated in your test to Pasuk of Gimel and Pasuk of Gimel through Pasuk to the end of the Perek. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk of Vav. Gam Zera Yaakov David Kosav Rabbeinu Yoina HaMedaktik. Rabbeinu Yoina HaMedaktik. Look at the title. That was his name. He was a Medaktik. Ki Yaakov B'Mokoyim Aroin. So here he says that he's giving a new answer. He's giving here a new answer. Now this is a little bit complicated. I don't really know what this means, but let me explain. Let's read it. Lefisha Zohar Shtei HaMishpachas. Since we said before, in the beginning, people are complaining. The complaint of Klal Yisrael was that you, Hashem, have rejected two families: the family of David and the family of Aaron. Therefore, now when we have to come and Hashem has to reply, Hashem replies in regard to two families. Now the two families are not the same. One is the same David, but the second family has been interchanged with Yaakov. That's not a kasha. That's one of the Lamed Beis Midos Shehatorah Nidreshes. We are familiar with the Yud Gimel Midos Shehatorah Nidreshes, but there are many other Tanoim that have a different set of rules how to expound upon the Torah. V'chein Omer B'Lamed Beis Midos Shel Rabbi Eliezer B'noi Shel Rabbi Yosef Haglili. And one of those 32 techniques in expounding the Torah is the Midas Midaber Shenemar Bezeh Ve'enoi Inyan Lo Aval Inyan L'Chaveroi. Okay, that's a rule. I don't know what this rule means. Kamo V'zos L'Yehuda She'enoi Inyan L'Yehuda Sharei Nemar Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. But this is something a little bit different. Okay, it could be. Alright, okay, Nechanami. She'enoi Inyan L'Yehuda Sharei Nemar Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. Therefore, Teneu Inyan L'Shemayin. He gives an example. V'zos liyuda vayomar shma Hashem kol Yehuda v'yalamot v'yenu. So in the midos, the lamed beis midos of Rabbi Eliezer b'noi shav Yosef Glili, when it says shma Hashem kol Yehuda, it's not referring to. That is referring to. But when it says elsewhere, v'zos liyuda, okay, it's another pasuk.
The first part of the pasuk is not referring to
Yehuda. It's not referring to Yehuda. What was the first part of the pasuk say? V'zos liyuda vayomar.
Shma Hashem kol Yehuda. So Yehuda is repeated twice. Why didn't you repeat it twice? So the second one is because we're talking to you. Then the first one, you have to, appropriate it to something else.
Okay, since we have this repetition, Teneu inyan l'shemayin. So here as well, when it says in this pasuk, Gam Zera Yaakov v'David, She'enoi inyan liYaakov, Sharei Nemar, it already says Yitzchak v'Yaakov, it says further in the pasuk, Zera Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, so we already know about Yaakov, therefore, Teneu inyan liAaron, therefore apply it to Aaron. This is a very complex rule. Raya Ledovar, Shtei HaMishpachos Amar, Ukvar perashnuo, perashnuo. I already explained it. All right, this is his interpretation. Now, if you want to, okay, fine. The Hachacham Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, Zichron Levracha perash. Ach mishuhu mizera Yaakov emas. Anyone that is mizera Yaakov emas, bavush amr Torah shalo yehi melech moishal b'yishol ki mi Yaakov. Ach mishuhu mizera Yaakov emas, bavush amr Torah. Because the Torah said, "Shelo ye melech el Moshe b'shul el kim Yaakov." The oid shuhu mi mishpachas. You have different gear.
They gotta have two conditions.
Yeah. Kim Yaakov, the oid shuhu mi mishpachas David, behem shtei milas. So he's explaining that the person has to be a Jew. Right. He has to be a Jew. In other words, that's the Agrifus Hamelech. Agrifus Hamelech. The Kerev Echav. He has to be a Jew. So that's why Yedavka says over here, I'm not going to reject Yaakov and David. Number one, you have to be Jewish. Not only are you Jewish, you also have to be a descendant of David Hamelech. Maybe you'll have a person who's a descendant of David Hamelech who's not Jewish. That could be.
That's what the Hordes.
What?
Nehemiah was a
I don't remember. I don't remember. We learned it. I remember.
Ezra was a Kohen.
Ezra was a leader. Okay, but there was a Kohen and a Melech. Even though he was a leader, but he served as the Kohen Gadol. He served as a Machlokes. If he actually served as the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so here he's saying an interpretation that you have to be, number one, you have to be a Jewish, and you have to also be a descendant of David, which seems to imply there's a possibility to be a descendant of David and not be Jewish. That will not be a qualification. That's why over here it says, according to this interpretation, why it says Davka Yaakov and David. Okay, one last thing, which surprisingly no one here on the page picks up. No, he does say, sorry, he does say it over here. Let's go for it. And it's right over here on the page. El Zera Avraham Kmoy Al Vichain the El Heharim, it means Kmoy Al Harim Yischok. I remember when I was a child, maybe I was an adult already, when I went to a bris milah and I really paid attention to what was going on at the Kriyas Hashem. It was the first time I was really paying attention, and they read the pasuk, it's Avraham Yischok the Yisrael, and I said, what in the world? Yischok with a sin. There must be a mistake. And I said, wow. What?
Asher karas es Abraham u'shavu
ha'so li'yishchok. Vayamidech li'yakov l'choik. So I remember thinking clear. I said, wow, what a terrible mistake. A terrible mistake here at Bris Mila. What a bizoyan to the printer. How foolish I was. It's a muscle for life when you have complaints against other people and you only come to realize your own ignorance, how far you are from the truth. So it's no mistake. It's there on purpose because Yitzchak is also called Yitzchak. They have the same meaning. Yitzchak means to laugh. Yitzchak is Oz Tischak Liyoim Acharon. It's even a greater degree of laughing. Yitzchak is a higher degree of laughing. We have to say that a name is not just letters.
It's having the last laugh.
Having the last of exactly. A name is not just a collection of letters. A name represents a concept. When Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avram and Sarah to name your child Yitzchak, it means he will have the last laugh. Exactly what you said, Yitzchak, he will laugh, he will rejoice, he will be happy. So here, it's a concept. So here it means that when Mashiach will come, it's not just going to be a minor degree of happiness, it's going to be an intense degree of happiness. So we change it from Yitzchak to Yischok. Now what else do we darshan? What is the numerical difference between a sin and a tzadi? A sin is 300, and a tzadi is 90. The difference is 210. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'kiger yihyeh zar'ocha bi'eretz lo lohem va'avodum v'inuy oisam arba me'oshana. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barachamov, he reduced our sentence of 400 years to 210 years by doing some creative mathematics, by working backwards. So it says, Kiger yeh zar'ocha. And the most immediate seed to Avraham is his child Yitzchak. So we bring out this idea of the difference of only going down from what was meant to be 400 years to 210 years by taking note of the difference between the sin and the tzadi. in reference to Yitzchak, to bring out the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here it's alluding to that what it means over here to say is Achishana. Even though days of Golus are long, it appears that if you're going into Golus now, or you're going into Golus and during the Chayim time of the Bayesheni, really you should know you deserve to go into Golus for a lot longer period of time than you can imagine. It's just that I'm going to have Rachmanis on you. I'm going to shorten the Golus. Just like I shortened the Golus for Klal Yisrael when they were in Mitzrayim from 400 years down to 210 years, you should know that in the future periods of Golus, I will also have Rachmanis. I will also shorten the time, your sentence in Golus. That's why we allude to it specifically over here. All right, now then it goes on to conclude. Let's read Yitzchak. Let's read over here what it says. It says Yitzchak siv b'sin k'mo b'tzadi ki shnei hasharashim shavim b'inyan. They're exactly the same thing. Once you know what they mean, they mean exactly the same thing. V'shnei ha'itzios memutz echad. Not only do they mean the same thing, the pronunciation of these sounds come from the same part of the mouth. For hu echad midalad haksuvim b'sin kinoi li Yitzchak. There are four pesukim in Tanakh that do this, that change Yitzchak to Yitzchak. Ki ashiv. It's the same thing. I don't know what that means, but we find this idea in other places as well. Okay, so that concludes this section, the section that alludes to the coming of Mashiach. This was a very beautiful parak because it's very rare to find Yirmiyah say something good. Yirmiyah is kula puranos, Chazal say, kula puranos. Oh, but you find that Yirmiyah said some nice words. What about Perek Lamed Gimel? Lamed Gimel in Yirmiyah. So the Gemara says, we mean Ruva Paranus. Most of what he says is Paranus. Yeshaya is Kula Nechemta. Really? For the first 40 Parakim in Yeshaya, it's pretty serious stuff. The first 40 Parakim is all gloom and doom. There was Ruva Nechama. Even though you only have 20 Parakim left, and it's a miut, but somehow the Echos, the quality of the Nechama is so great.
We end off on a good note.
Good note, so that becomes the Iker is the Nechama. But this was unique in that Yirmiyah over here, he spoke about the Melech Mashiach, he spoke about what's going to be when Mashiach comes, all the many different illusions, in Yonim, mysteries, that will, when Mashiach indeed comes, we'll be able to look back at these Pesukim and see, it was right in front of our eyes, all the various mysteries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga. We now begin Perek Lamed Dalet. Perek Lamed Dalet now begins now a narrative. Okay, it begins, I think, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much at the end of the Sefer. I don't know, but I think pretty much it turns into a very it runs very quickly. It turns it more into a like it's more like Sefer Melachim, not totally, but Sefer Melachim, where it just runs through a series of events. Hadavar Asher Hoya El Yimyo Meis Hashem Nivuch Period Univuchad Netzar. Notice here we're switching back to the Nun. You have a Reish?
Yes, we have
a Reish. Univuchad Netzar. What does it say in the Mincha Shai? I don't have Mincha Shai in my edition.
He seems to say that it's a Reish.
A Reish, okay. I don't know. My edition, it says it with a Nun. Whatever it is, it is. What?
I have both a Reish and two editions.
Two editions. Okay, whatever it is, it is. So I'll read as your edition says, V'nevuchad Retzah Melech Babel, V'chol Chilo, V'chol Mam, L'chois Eretz, all of the kingdoms of the world, Mem Sheles Yadai, the power of his hand, V'chol Ho'amim Nulcham Al Yerushalayim, and all of the nations are fighting against Yerushalayim, V'al Kol Orecha Lemar. This is what Yirmiyah said from Hashem at the time when Nebuchadnezzar and his army are attacking. When Nebuchadnezzar, his army, and his allies, his mercenaries, while they are gearing up to attack, they are attacking Klal Yisrael. Yirmiyah delivered the following message. Klal Yisrael is now in a very desperate matzav. And here the words are going to be they're going to be listened to. Koyamar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Holoich, I want you, Yirmiyah, to go. V'yamarta el Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda, I want you to give the king the following message. the Amarte Lov Koyama Hashem Hini Noisin Esu Yazos Biad Melech Bavel Usrof Usrofabo Esh. And indeed he will burn the city down. Pasuk Gimel. The Ator and you, lo simolate miado, you will not escape. Ki sofos tito face, you will be seized. Uviado tino sein, and you will be delivered into his hands. Vienecha, and your eyes, es eni melech bavel tir, and your eyes will see the eyes of melech bavel. Upihu es, and his mouth, es picho yidaber, his mouth will speak to your mouth. We had the same expression, we had this before, if you broke back, meaning that you will have a conversation, pel peh, your mouth will speak directly to his mouth. Uvavel tovo, and you will go to Bavel. Let's see these three psukim inside the Mepharshim, Sarah Pasuk Aleph, and the Mitzvah Stavid. Memsheles yaday, shumoshel alehem, this Nevuah was said to Klal Yisrael by Yirmiyahu at the time of Nebuchadnezzar and his army, and the Memsheles Yado, the army that he ruled over, the Chol Ha'amim, Ki Gam Me'amim Achirim Bohu Le'ezraso, many nations enlisted in the army of Nebuchadnezzar to attack Klal Yisrael, Oreha, Ratzalaymar, Hasmuchim La, to attack the cities that are near Yerushalayim, Leymar, Musav Aladavar, Me'es Hashem Leymar. We're now telling you what the prophecy was. Pasuk Beis V'Amarta Elav Ratzalaymar Elav Levad V'Lo Yeod Mi Bidvarcha Elav. The only one that you should deliver this message to is Tzidkiyahu. No one else should hear this message. Uviyado Tinosein, you will be delivered. Here Yirmiyahu is telling Tzidkiyahu, you will not die. They won't kill you at that moment. Those that seize you will not kill you at that moment. You will be alive. And your mouth will speak directly to the Melech Bavel. Let's see Radak, starting with Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Dalid. There's no Radak here at all. There's no Radak whatsoever. Let's go a little bit further. Pasuk Dalid. Ach. However. Shma Dvar Hashem Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Koyama Hashem Elecha. So says Hashem, Lo Somus Bechorev, you will not die by the sword. Bishalom Tamus, but instead you will die peacefully. Uvim Mitzrefois Avosecha, and through the burnings of your father, Hamalachim HaRishayim Mashahoyu Lefanecha, just like the ceremony of the burning of the possessions of the kings that was done to your forefathers, that will be done to you. Kain Yisrefu Lach, they will burn for you. Vehoi, and they will say, they will eulogize you with beautiful expressions of lament. For example, they'll say the word Hoi, Adoin Master. These two words will be said at your eulogy. Yispidu Lach, they will eulogize concerning you. Ki Devar Ani Dibarti Vim Hashem, and this is what's going to happen. So I'm giving you good news and bad news. The good news is you're going to die a peaceful death. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good piece of news. Who can guarantee that they'll die a peaceful death with dignity and honor, a nice eulogy to wrap it all up, have a legacy, and to do the ceremony of burning the possessions of the king, which we'll discuss in a moment. But on the other hand, there's bad news. The bad news is you're not going to be dying in Yerushalayim. You're going to be dying Chutz Liaretz, as we learned in the beginning of the Sefer Yirmiyahu. We don't appreciate what this means, but this was a very great torture for a person to die outside of Eretz Yisrael. He's the Melech. Yeah, but even for a regular person, even for an ordinary person, we don't know what this means. There were people today, the people today that go to die, to die in Eretz Yisrael. That the neshama should be taken by Kadosh Baruch Hu al Admas Kodesh. There is such a concept. The average person today has no appreciation of what this means. It's not possible really for us to understand this, but this is a reality. And certainly to go tell a person you're not going to die in Eretz Yisrael is very bad news. Furthermore, he's the Melech. The fact that he's going to be captured and be taken to Melech Bavel and is going to be tortured, be put into prison, obviously is not very good news. But the silver lining is he's going to die a natural death and he's going to receive great honor at the time of his death. In ancient times, the custom was when the king dies, they would take out his clothing, they would take out his bed and his unique utensils, and they would burn them publicly. Why? It was a sign of honor, as if to say there is no one left in this world that is deserving to fill his shoes, deserving to use his lie on his bed, to sit on his chair, to wear his clothing. Even in there's just no one is worthy, and therefore we have no choice but to destroy these things and to burn it. What? No, throwing out shoes is a Kabbalistic concept. Throwing out shoes, and the person Rachmanus Shel Olam dies, so the shoes are supposed to be thrown in the garbage, not donated to the Red Cross. Because in Halacha, shoes represent the neshama. I don't know how this works, but it's a Kabbalistic thing. The shoes are not supposed to be used. I remember my father, my father's holy mechon, there was a Baal HaBos in the shul. He was an ifter, and he had a very, very nice collection of shoes. He enjoyed, he one of the things that he liked, a very wealthy person, and he enjoyed a good pair of shoes. Now, women have hundreds of shoes, but you don't find men having a collection of hundreds of pairs of shoes. Well, you buy a new pair of shoes, so you throw out the old pair of shoes. But this individual did have a nice collection, and the family did not know what to do with him. They came to my father. My father said, throw it in the garbage. And they were shocked to throw in the garbage. We're dealing with thousands and thousands of dollars worth of shoes. To throw in the garbage. So I don't know what the end was. But I remember the reaction. They couldn't believe that it was such a thing in halacha that the shoes have to be thrown in the garbage upon death. But that's what it says. So over here they burned all of his possessions. Now that's the simple interpretation. That is the simple interpretation. Some actually say that this is one of the reasons why we make bonfires on Lag BaOmer in honor of Rashbi. Rashbi, it's the Yom Hilula. The Yom Hilula of Rashbi, the day that he died, in honor of the departure of a great person, you make a fire. The fire you make normally is you make a fire, the fire on his possessions. So we don't have his possessions with us today, obviously. So instead, we just make a fire to express.
It used to be a funeral pyre.
So what was the funeral fire for?
Funeral pyre.
Pyre, yeah.
They would actually burn
cremation. That's cremation.
But it was a big thing. Okay. Often
they would do that. All right, that could be Avodah Zarah. That could be Avodah. He actually talks about that over here. Why is this called Avodah Zarah? It was done b'derech kavod. It's pshuta shel mikra. It's kavod because no one is deserving to use his possessions. But it appears there's something more to it. There are more mystical things which are beyond my understanding of why this was done. But the fact that it's going to be done for Tzidkiyahu is an indication that he is going to die a good man. Let's see just a few mufarshim before we conclude. Let's look at Pasik, starting with the Mitsudos, Pasik Dalid, Lysomus Bacherev, Kigam Nevuchad Netzar Lo Yamitzcha, that the people that capture you will not kill you, and Nevuchad Netzar will not kill you, but instead you will die in peace, Bisholem Thomas. Amr Rabosein Zchon Levracha, Liachas Shemes Nevuchad Netzar, Hoitziu Litzidkio Min Hamaser, Umes Al Mitaso. Tzidkio was put in a prison by Nevuchad Netzar, but when Nevuchad Netzar died, Nevuchad Netzar's son, I think Evel Meroidach, released Tzidkiyahu from prison, and he Nebuchadnezzar blinded Tzidkiyahu, and he put him in a prison. And when Nebuchadnezzar died, Nebuchadnezzar's son Evel Merodach released Tzidkiyahu from prison. He lived for one day, and the next day Tzidkiyahu died. But at least he died a free man. Dying a free man entitled him to all the benefits of the kavod of Malchus. He died and he had a royal funeral. If he would have died a day before in prison, then the rules of prison are felons don't get to vote. Felons don't get a funeral of kavod. So it's hashkacha pratis that he should live one more day as a free man in order that he would get the kavod of this lavish funeral. Why does it make a difference to him? Have such a lavish. Once he's not here in this world, obviously we don't know what happens when a person dies. Somehow all the kavod that comes at a funeral has some effect on the neshama. Okay, next. Next words in the Mitzudos, Uva Mishrafos, Shkmosha, Sarfu, Alavasech, Amalachim, Mitasan, as they burn the possessions, the bed, Uchle Tashmishon, Kain Yishfu Alecha, so that they will burn your possessions, Kichain Hoyaderech, Lishraif, Alamalachim, they would burn the bed and the utensils of the previous king as a sign of honor. There is no one that's deserving to make use of these possessions. Shkmosha Kasuf, Vayishrafu, period. The Hoyodain. You learn here from this pasuk, incidentally, the greatest eulogy you can give a person. The greatest eulogy is to say these two words, Hoy Adon, woe, woe to us that our master has departed from us. I always thought the greatest eulogy you can say is what Hashem said about Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Eved Hashem, the servant of Hashem. And yet here, we have another dimension of a eulogy to say, Hoy, woe to us, Adon, the master has departed. Be'es Yisbedu Oyscha, Yomu, they'll say, Hoy, hoy, al, misas, ho'odoin. Ani dibarti. Hashem says that this will happen. Make no mistake, it's going to happen. Ubevadai tokum, and it will certainly endure. The words of Hashem are guaranteed to come. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, we start with Pasuk Dal, but there is no Rashi, so we go to Pasuk Hey. B'shalom tamus, amu rabosein, shemes nevuchanetzar biyamav. Shekol yimei nevuchanetzar, lo yeitzu asirav be'asirehem. The prisoners were not released from jail. Uchashemes nevuchanetzar, yatzat sidkiya, mibesu asurim ulumochoros. On the following day, Mace the Kavruhu Bikavo, they buried him with dignity. Uvi Mishrafos Avosecha, and they will burn your possessions as they have burnt the possessions of your forefathers. Kacho Yedarkam Lishroif Al Hamalachim, Mitosan Uchle Tashmishan, their beds and their utensils. Let's see the Radak. Pasik. Hey, B'shalom Tamus, Afal Pishe Nikru Einav, even though his eyes were blinded, Kaven Shloyamus, Bachere Viyamus Al Mitaso, Vyas, and he will die in his bed, Vyasa Le Kavod Kemosh Oisim Lomalachim, Zehu B'shalom. It's an amazing Radak. The Radak is saying, what kind of peace? He was blind for how many years? For many years, he was blinded. That's called the death of peace after having blinded. So it's amazing. He says, the fact that you're going to not be tortured, You're not going to be killed by the sword, and you're going to die a natural death on your bed. That is a blessing called shalom. You don't really know what shalom is. That's called shalom. Rabbi Sein is home levracha. Amu ma b'shalom. Shemes nevuchanetzar yamav. Another interpretation of shalom. He outlived his adversary. When you outlive your adversary, that you have the pleasure of knowing that I outlive my adversary. Uve mishrafos kemosh al yisroif al mitasam. Besamim, now he has a new interpretation according to the Radak. It does not mean like the Ramitsudos and Rashi, that they would burn their possessions out of honor. No one is deserving to use the possessions, but it means instead they would make a, like you said, a pyre. They would make some type of incense. It was a kavod. Kemosha yusarfim al mitasam besamim vizanim miru kochim. Different perfumes were spread out. Kemoshanem ba'asa. That's what they did. It was kavod. However, Rabbi Seinu Zichroinim Levracha Perishu Maha Yusuf Malayim Mitasan Uchle Tashmishan, like what the Mitsudos said, they did this out of honor. No one is deserving to use their bed and their possessions. Kidavar Ani Dibarti, Kizeh Hadavar Ani Dibarti, Oso Lefich Difor Teda She Yiskayim, Hashem says, I have spoken, and you should be aware that it will come to be. Okay?
Why do they doubt that?
Why does he have to say it?
Is there anything that Hashem says that's not mekuyam?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
So
I don't know.
The possessions were burned in this?
Well, that's the machlekes. The Radak is presenting two interpretations. According to the first interpretation, according to the Mitsudos, and the second interpretation of the Radak, only his possessions as a sign that of kavod, and according to the...
It couldn't be reused anyway.
Okay, fine, so put it in the museum. You put it in the Tzidkiyahu National Museum, in their library. You put it in their library, right? Now you have a fundraising opportunity. Your foundation. That's what they do today. The President of the United States, every gift he receives, he's not allowed to use. Isn't that the law? Every gift a president...
How valuable it is.
Depends how much money.
They all have a library or a museum where they're stood away. Even, I think, almost all the presidents since Truman, though, since even before, who was before Truman, FDR, received a Sefer Torah. They were given a gift. They were given a gift of a Sefer Torah. Every president.
I think it was from
for Weitzman. So where is the Sefer Torah? It's a real chaval. You give a president the Sefer Torah, and what happens to it? It ends up in a museum. You give a president the menorah, where does it end up? In a museum. So is it really all the what?
Is it in the FDR museum?
Every president has their own museum.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is where we're up to. We'll stop over here with Pasuk.
And the Ruai was to the people also, they said,
you should know what's going to happen to the king.
Yeah.